Hi, Peter.
This is Peter Yarrow.
Peter Yarrow. Oh, I am just so thrilled to have you. This is Dominic Atoya. Glad to have you on us on the show with us, Peter.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh, God. You know, this is a first for me. I mean, I've actually talked to a lot of people down the line, but one of my favorites, finally, I get to talk to. I am just so looking forward to you having on the air with us, and really appreciate your time, Peter.
Oh, it's my delight. Let me introduce myself to the people on the air. I am a member of a performing group, although all three of us are not still with us. Mary Travers passed away 8 years ago, but I am Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And it's a delight to be on the air with you, my friend. So, and I'm coming to your neck of the woods to do a concert.
Yes, I understand. First of all, I know some of the background on yourself. I've actually been in the music business and DJing for nearly 40 years now, and When I first became program director and music director of this radio station a number of years ago, I did a little research way back then, and I found out some very interesting history on on the family of your parents were actually born, well, not born, but they grew up in the same neck of the woods that I was born in, Providence.
Oh, that's it. They emigrated to Providence.
They emigrated there.
My mother came from Ukraine when she was 3 years old, and you know, this was she was born, you know, not long after the turn of the century, mm-hmm. And the whole family. She was the youngest of seven children. And she, they were Russian Jewish immigrants, and they decided, as many did at the time, we are now Americans. We're mm-hmm. proud to be Americans. We're not going to speak Russian anymore. We're not going to. You know, it was a total adoption of America as their home country, and she being a girl, you know, in those days, she had to go and work. She didn't go to high school, mm-hmm. And she worked in a factory. And then after that, she got her high school equivalency, went on to Teachers College, and then Columbia Teachers College, and she became a teacher for her whole career. But it's interesting because the brothers, because you put the money into the men at the time, you know, one of them was the first Jew to go to Brown University on a full scholarship. And he went there for 3 years, learned seven languages, and became a high school teacher at the most eminent public high school in New York City for the rest of his career. It's a fascinating story of immigrants, and you know, for me, I grew up in New York City. Mm-hmm. We weren't poor, you know, but I was a school teacher's single parent salary. My daughter and I, because there was a very bitter divorce when I was 5 years old. And my mother worked and worked like crazy. And then when I became successful, I said, okay, Mom, that's it. And it was those began what she called her golden years. Mm-hmm. And she was so, so very proud of Peter, Paul, and Mary, not just, of course, the success of the music, but also the marches. And she would even attend the marches that we were on. And she was glorious. So that was the Providence, and I still have Providence relatives that I see. You know, the Birch family. There was one who was a very eminent ophthalmologist, and mm-hmm. you know, it's terrific stories, right, about all that.
You know, one of the main reasons that you are coming to this area through the Legends of Music series up in Hudson, Massachusetts, tell us a little bit more about this, how you got involved in this. I know that you're going to be down there next Sunday up in Hudson at the Portuguese Club. You're also doing this along with the Lions Club of the nearby town of Bolton.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, this is... to me, it makes it very special. They're going to be doing. I myself am a member of another and very similar fraternal order called the Rotarians, and in this time where we see so much focus on individual wealth and so much unfortunate greed that has taken over, and so much that where people evaluate each other and their own success on that basis, it's wonderful to see organizations that are focused around the idea that we are valuable because of what we give to society. And that is what the Lions Club does, and that's what the Rotarians do. And we're living in an era where we have, I think, an unfortunate tendency to devalue those essential aspects of what makes people really amazing and wonderful, which is, and we know that that's what's important somewhere inside us, but that's been obscured by the norm of television, which so frequently makes a sport out of bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, right. You see that Jerry Springer in horrific ways. As a matter of fact, it's the absence of empathy and compassion that right now is, I think, at the root of a lot of the problems that they're experiencing, and we live in an extraordinarily vitriolically divided time. And this division is, to me, a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, I've never lived in a situation in our country where people that voted differently dismiss each other and think that the other people are. I mean, sure, we would disagree, but we've never divided in this way, and that's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. because if we don't look at each other as fellow Americans, no matter how we voted, when there are issues that come up that where we need to stand up together and say, no, this is right. For instance, an issue that I would say we need to stand up together on is the issue of the elimination of assault rifles.
Right, exactly.
It's crazy to say that one person who can either obtain them or obtain a kit that turns ordinary rifles into them, to say, well, they might obtain them illegally, well, that's possible, but at least... You know, you don't have to say, well, here it is. Right. Anybody who wants to, you can go out there and be have the capacity to wound 500 people and kill dozens more. I mean, I think that's absolutely insane. So that's when we need to depoliticize these things and stand together and say, this is not good for America. This is wrong, and then, but we don't have that strength now.
Right.
So what I am doing, I'm very much involved in something called Better Angels, mm-hmm. where we took the 10 Trump voters and 10 non-Trump voters in a little town called Lebanon, Ohio, and in 2.5 days, they had 13 hours of interactions. And at the end of it, none of them changed their political point of view, but they all walked away saying, we're friends. We love these people. These are great people. We disagree with them. And we may never agree, but we don't have to hate each other. And I made a documentary on it, which is now being edited, and it's going to be on PBS. And we're also taking these sessions. They're not 2.5 days. They're only 6 hours. But we're hoping to have them in the hundreds, if not the thousands, across America at Rotary Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
and maybe other fraternal orders like the Lions, right, where we say, okay, maybe you think I drank the Kool-Aid or uh-huh. vice versa,
right,
but, you know, okay, I think you're crazy, but we can be friends.
Yeah, you make a good point on that, Peter, because, you know, you're talking about other organizations that do a lot of work. You know, we have a huge Rotarian area, Rotarian following here on this radio station. In fact, the Rotary does an annual auction. We share our radio station studio with the local cable access here in Attleboro as well. And one of the two of the members of the Rotarians are actually one of our board of directors here. They actually work with us. And the funny thing is, one of the people that I was talking to yesterday, who knew that you were going to be on the program, said he is admiring Peter, Paul, and Mary for many, many years, and as well as I said to him, as well as I do as well. And without people like yourself, you and Noel, Paul, and Mary from back the days, people like the Weavers and Pete Seeger and the great sounds that the folk music brought to our country. I mean, you would agree, and I think that say that when you're talking about folk music, not a lost genre of music, but one of the early genres that basically started off telling a story. When I listen to your music, Blowing in the Wind, Day is Done, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, wherever, you know, I mean, one of the early songs that I remember as a kid was Puff the Magic Dragon. You know, in the early day, you would sounded like, oh, it's a novelty song, but it's a novelty to a song which is a great song when you know comes out back in the early 60s. But as I said, even when you listen to songs like 500 Miles or Lemon Tree or anything like that, you hear these stories. Basically, folk music is stories put to music, and it does have a lot of meaning as well.
Well, not only, I agree with you. These were songs, first of all, the traditional songs,
right,
that established a whole way of being, that were not written for money with commercial intention. They were just written by people to tell their stories, their hopes, their dreams, their travail, their sorrows, their losses, their joys, and they, when you listen to them, because it wasn't written for money, you know that it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And in these times when people are beset with messages saying, buy this and do this, when you hear something that you know doesn't come from that place where anybody's trying to sell you anything or get anything from you, they're just trying to say, here I stand,
right,
this is what I exist, and I as a human being want to be able to share this thought with you. And then all of a sudden a different dynamic exists when people sing these songs, for instance, in the 1960s, and you'll see this at the concert that I do,
mm-hmm,
that there's a sense of community and a sense of humanity and warmth and acceptance and unity of spirit that's just so strong. And it was that kind of spirit that was so important in the civil rights movement. And Peter, Paul, and Mary, you may remember, sang at the March on Washington in 1963,
right,
where Martin Luther King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. We sang If I Had a Hammer and Blowing in the Wind. Well, John Lewis, who's a member of Congress now, who was the only speaker from 1963 who was there at the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington in 1963 and the Selma Montgomery March in 1965. He is quoted as saying, and he said it at these marches, he said, the civil rights movement without song would have been like a bird without wings. Oh. Because that music really, really gathered people's hearts together. And when I sing these songs, and I will, like Blowing in the Wind, or if I, and of course, when I'm in your neck of the woods, you know, and I'm singing Puff the Magic Dragon, right. I'm going to ask all the kids in the room to come on stage and sing it with me. I'll redefine the word kid. I'll say if you're a 70 or younger, you're a kid.
That's right.
And,
exactly.
And I'll let and the folks will come on stage. It's when I perform, it's not so much entertainment as it is a gathering of people in music and heart, mm-hmm. and it's reminiscent of those kinds of gatherings where we stood together and sang and. Whether it was We Shall Overcome or all these other songs, and said, yeah, we're going to make a better world. We're going to end the remnants of slavery here, or we're going to end this war that must end. It cannot continue in this way. Men and women are needlessly dying, and we have to do that. And today in the fracking,
sure.
Gathering, so I sing. I was up in North Dakota, Standing Rock, singing and being there and still participating. I was, in Madison, Wisconsin, when Scott Walker was, taking away the rights of the state employees to negotiate for better pay and better working conditions, and so I'm not slacked off. And when I come to this concert, my messages are not going to be unsimilar to what it was that Peter Paul and Mary was saying there.
Right.
But they're not all political, but they are a matter of saying we are together and we must stand together and we must be friends. And that's where the term Better Angels came from, because mm-hmm. Better Angels came from Abraham Lincoln's speech in his first inaugural, when he said we are friends, we must not be enemies, we must summon our better angels. This was at the end of the Civil War.
Right.
So it's an extraordinarily important time for this music to be shared. And when I'm there and I know it's sponsored by the Lions, I think also they're going to auction off a guitar
right.
that I will have signed and sung on stage mm-hmm. with on stage. And, I'm going to be part of a community effort to create something that brings people together. And that's what this music does, and it's always done it. And for people who are there, they always say, you brought me back to a very special time in my life. And to me, that's a great honor and pleasure to do.
I know. You said it better than I would say it, too. You know, you talk about people bringing together history in the making. Some of these younger people, who will be up there on stage with you, maybe the first time that some of these younger people will be hearing some of folk music, that special genre. I mean, I'm 58 years old, and I remember growing up with Peter, Paul, and Mary songs as well. And as I said, I was always and still am a big fan of yours. And I do remember that I know, as I said, you talked about just a few moments ago, Madison, Wisconsin. You're going to be down in Madison at the Capitol Theater, I believe, on Sunday. And tomorrow down in Minneapolis at the Pantages. And you've still got a very busy schedule. I mean, I have your schedule in front of me for you and Paul and some other people that Paul is doing it with Betty as well. But very, very busy at this time of the year.
Well, this time of our lives, yes. But people ask me, they say, why? How can you stay so positive in this era? Well, and why do you continue to do this? And the answer is the same. Because every time I get up in front of people to sing, I am given an enormous jolt of hopefulness, mm-hmm. because I see what's in people's hearts, and I see that we are not without determination at this point, that we want to very, very much to restore a sense of good, caring heart to our lives, to our country, that kindness is not dead, that compassion is not dead, that empathy is not dead. And when we sing together, that gets reasserted. And I know that that's very important to me, to say, look, at my age and in my work, I can be a catalyst for finding those moments of unanimity of spirit and hopefulness. And when we sing together, it's right there. It's so poignant and it's so powerful. And the songs are well known, and you know, and the kids say, well, I don't think I know those songs. And then they are singing If I Had a Hammer, or This Land Is Your Land, or Puff the Magic Dragon. And of course, I sing Leaving on a Jet Plane, and remember Barry Travers with the audience. It's very moving, and it to me, it's extraordinarily meaningful and satisfying.
You know, one thing that I do know, when you're going to be at this performance on Sunday, you just mentioned that you're going to be signing that an autographed guitar for that auction. This is a lot of people may remember the name Zager and Evans. This guitar, did it belong to them when they sang in the year 2525?
In the year 2525?
Yeah, the song that they did, that group, Zager and Evans, I saw on a website this morning that that guitar may have been used by the group Zager and Evans back in 69, that you're going to be auctioning off that guitar, which you're going to be using.
You said 2525.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were referring to.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that's what I will be doing. It's going to be an evening filled with gestures of that sort,
mm-hmm.
saying, we are a community, we care about each other, and that's the most loving kind of gathering you can imagine. And to me, it's a privilege to be a part of this, creating music in that context, where it's not about flash and style and look at me and see what I can do and you can't do. No, it's doing something we all not only can do, but do together. Most of the songs I sing are sing-alongs, and I ask people to join me.
When you started doing that music, the folk music series, something that, you know, you've done for many, many years, how do you see, now, since the early days of the 60s and going into the music, you know, you guys started music just around the time, you know, I mean, you started some of this music from the early 60s, 63, you know, right before the British invasion started. How did you see music change? I know folk music is still one of my favorites, but how did you see music change from folk music, and then you got into the Summer of Love, and then you got into the disco and everything else, but you still see that the folk music still does have an audience out there?
Well, it does, but what happened is that folk music really dominated the airwaves in the early 60s until the Beatles. And the Beatles, when they started, were not singing songs of depth and substance, really. I Want to Hold Your Hand, and, you know, and stuff. And they were a fun group, brilliant, mm-hmm. but light on substance. Until they encountered Bob Dylan,
right,
and his music, which of course is folk rooted.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply affected them, and then their songs, by the time they did the Rubber Soul album, were filled with content and meaning. And so the folk music definitely affected the music of pop music that came afterwards in such a way that there was a lot of content at the time, a lot of content and commitment and involvement of that music in the movements of the time, particularly anti-war movement. But the this evolution is such that now folk music is not at all out there as a viable commercial music. It's, and that's because the music has become really, to a large degree, so commodified that the forces that control big, you know, business music are really interested in maxing out the bucks. And when that's the case, which was not the case in the 60s, because, yeah, there was a lot of money to be made, but they were very, very, very conscious of the role of music as a kind of a musical expression of the conscience of America, that its role in that regard was taken very seriously by the record companies like Warner Brothers, Elektra, Atlantic, Columbia, etc. But now it's so commercialized that you won't see this music. You know, Bob Dylan today wouldn't do so well on American Idol. You know, it's just not
right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the kind of thing. So the music exists, but it exists on the net. You know, you can find it all over the net, which is very friendly to this kind of music. And in the schools, in the summer camps, in the churches, the mosques, the synagogues, it continues because it's music of the people. It's gone back to being and embraced at the grassroots. But, when the dollars are controlling the decisions that are being made, the decisions that generally are not going to give you the most interesting, inventive new forms. They're going to give you those that sell the most, which is, you know, mediocrity and sometimes worse, most of the time.
Right. I liked what you just said, Peter. And like I said, when I listen to some of your interviews in various areas around the country, you know, I hear the passion for the music. I hear the passion for life, the stories. But I like what you just said about Bob Dylan would probably not be make it on American Idol. Now, do you watch any of these other programs that try to give a chance to some of these young and upcoming stars out there, these singers or artists?
Well, yeah, I mean, to a large degree, which is not always the case. See, to a large degree, there are those wonderful moments when you find somebody who looks as if they are really a, quote, loser, end quote. And then out of their mouths comes the most beautiful sound and the most heartfelt, moving music, and people just are in awe. And those are the lovely moments. But in general, it's not about content. It's about technique. It's about the voice itself, not the substance of what is being sung. It's about technicians and artists like and who sing with extraordinary brilliance and can be great performers, but not the originators of music that can stir your life in the way in which a blowing in the wind, or if I had a hammer, or imagine, it touched the heart of people everywhere and brought them together to celebrate their hopes, their dreams, and the goodness within them.
Right. You know, as we still continue to talk about this this event, which is coming up next Sunday, I know that, you know, people can go to Eventbrite and a lot of other places online to get some tickets with the meet and greet with you as well. Going back just a bit, Peter, as far as, you know, I know that you're working with Paul again this weekend. Talk a little bit more about the friendship that you and Mary and Peter had. I know that Paul was a very popular singer as well, and still is, especially when he did the song There Is Love. But unfortunately, Mary passed away. She was only 72 when she passed away a few years ago in 2009. Very, very beautiful person inside and out. And, you know, I know you guys have, you know, spent many, many times on different variety shows, including Ed Sullivan, a lot of other places as well. But when you talk about other performances, you know, earlier days, somebody mentioned to me just early this morning on my email that said when they knew that you were coming on the air, ask him about some of the music, the early music that even the Smothers Brothers did sounded a little bit kind of folk as well.
Right. Well, the Smothers Brothers were comedians. You know,
right.
But they had a television show that was all about contemporary consciousness. And in fact, they lost their show because they had become so political.
Right.
They were so clearly anti-war. And we did perform, by the way, we never did do the Ed Sullivan show.
No,
the only time we really, really started doing television intensively was after 25 years. When we had our first PBS television special.
Right.
And we've had four of those. And those were such that when we would do a PBS show, in the pledge period, in a single pledge period, more people would see us on PBS than had ever seen us or would see us in our entire career live. So it was really PBS that totally brought Peter, Paul, and Mary to the vast American audience on television, not the commercial television. Commercial television was never really totally comfortable with folk music. Mm. It had there was never really a commercial television folk show, you know.
Right.
Whereas it just never happened, but. The early years with Paul and Mary really solidified who we were and what we were. We followed in the footsteps of the Weavers. The
right.
Weavers were extraordinary, and they predated Peter, Paul, and Mary by 10 years. And they had 9 huge hits,
mm-hmm.
including "Goodnight Irene" and "Sayna, Sayna, Sayna." And everybody loved Saturday Night, and I mean, it was. They would have brought on the folk renaissance as it existed in the '60s, in the '50s, but they were torn apart by the witch hunting, Joe McCarthy era.
Right.
This very, very dark era in America, where there was a witch hunt for communists, and the people throughout show business were accused of being communists, were brought up before the House Un-American Activities Committee by Joe McCarthy, and lost their careers. And the Weavers couldn't work. They had to disband, and there was no place that would allow them to sing. And so they, you know, Pete wound up singing in all these summer camps, and it was, I mean, ultimately, of course, that point of view triumphed, and today that era is looked upon as one of the darkest, most darkest blights on our history. As in terms of being respectful of people's rights and privileges in America. But there was this hysteria about communism at the time, and it was fed upon by Joe McCarthy, who was a total liar, and he was he would make up figures about how many communists there were in the radio, and how many, and it was it was later revealed to be just a total craziness that he made this all up. He had induced this hysteria, and that is something that we look upon as a terrible thing in our history, and not something we want to recapitulate.
Right, exactly. I know that you're, you know, as you said, you brought up PBS, which still is a super thing around here and around the country. And if it wasn't for the public broadcasting systems throughout our country, including Rhode Island and Massachusetts as well, and throughout the whole country, a lot of people would not remember some of these songs. And I know, you know, there have been a lot of the oldies shows on television for many, many years. Every chance I get, I watch PBS and some of these old programs, including some of the former Peter, Paul, and Mary songs as well. And I think, you know, that's why it's out there, you know, that people need to contact your local PBS station to keep some of these great programs still on the air each and every day.
They do that. They do that. These our shows continually are repeated and shown. That's one of the places where they do have great respect for this kind of music. It was always very, very friendly to folk music, and PBS has that audience, and they are very loyal. And that's one place where folk music is alive and well. And there's a great respect for that history and that tradition.
Right, exactly. Well, we're coming down to the line, to the wire, Peter. First of all, I want to thank you for joining us. But just tell us briefly now, what can people expect next Sunday when they come up and see you in concert next Sunday up in Hudson?
Well, I'll be doing the Peter, Paul, and Mary repertoire, but there are also new songs that I've written. One called The Children Are Listening. When the chorus says, "The children are listening, the children are listening. If we say something cruel and harsh, they will do the same. The children are listening, the children are listening. If they grow up to be bullies, we'll have ourselves to blame. It's time to come together across the dividing lines for the children who are suffering with the pain in these our times. It's not just ridicule and taunts and bullying by their peers. Grown-ups' rage and hate-filled words are ringing in their ears. The children are listening. The children are listening." See, so it's a tradition that continues. Yeah. And I will be singing some songs that are part of what's going on today. Mm-hmm. But I will sing, you know, the repertoire of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and everybody will be singing along. But I'll also contextualize the songs so that people understand the history, and they understand that this folk music is not a relic from the past, and just a reminiscence. It's really still valid and important and current and meaningful today.
You sound, your voice still is sounds as great as it did, always did, Peter. I really do appreciate it. And that was nice to have that little new song there as well. Continued success with you and Paul. We know Mary is looking down at you guys this weekend and every single day. You know, as I said, a beautiful person inside and out, as well as you and Paul as well. Once again, I want to thank you, and I wish you much success and much success on your tour, and especially for next Sunday as well.
Thank you, my brother. It was a pleasure talking to you. Go well.
Thank you so much. Thanks, sir. Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary fame joining us on the phone lines for a bit. You know, if we're going to still promoting, we're going to promote Peter on the air once again starting next week as well. Seeing that, speaking of another Paul, we have Paul Healy joining us here.
Hello,
in studio.
Dominic.
Hello there.
How are you?
Okay.
Man, Well done. Heck of an interview.
Yeah, I tell you. You know, the funny thing is, he still has that voice a little, little raggedy here and there. I mean, he's 79.
Yeah.
He and Paul Stuckey are both 79 years old. As I said, we lost Mary Travis in 2009. Yeah. She was 72. But hopefully people who are going up there, up in Hudson, Massachusetts, may get down there and get to see him in person.
Yeah, one of the sponsors is the Bolton Lions Club.
Right.
The lovely Sally Jane, the mother of my children, grew up in Bolton.
Exactly.
And I was on radio up in Hudson and Marlboro for years, used to do the Thanksgiving Day game. I had two questions for him that I was wondering. One, what the hell happened to the peace movement?
Yeah.
Why, back when I was a boy, there was a peace movement, for crying out loud. And number two, I wanted to ask if you remembered sitting next to a redhead.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
At a fundraiser for John Kerry in 1985. The woman to his left said something to offend him, something like, "Why aren't you playing music anymore?" when he was. So he turned most of his attention to Carol, and they ended up singing Blowin' in the Wind together at that.
That's
so I'm sure he remembers that, one of his fondest memories
of
his entire career.
Yes, exactly.
But the one thing that really impressed me was the Better Angels Project,
yes,
getting 10 Trump supporters together with 10
non-Trump
sane people.
Yes.
His understanding of empathy, and what a better job of trying to turn away from his anger with those people, and trying to understand them and get along. I could learn a little bit from that.
Yeah, just a lot of history there in the making as well. At some point, probably next week, we'll have this back on our website to hear it again. When I contacted his manager up in North Andover last week, he says to me, he says, he'll go for an hour if you want. Like, he just has not a problem talking. He called it 8:15 and went on the air until a few moments ago. As I mentioned to his manager, unfortunately, I can't go to the concert next Sunday. But as I said, it's amazing. This guy is still trying to do a lot more songs. Wants to go back out there and record. I mean, good luck to him.
I'm sure.
Hopefully there will be some of those other people who will join it. He'll have some of the kids on stage, and I like the way it's under 70.
That's good news for us.
Those are youngsters to him, exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that is great to hear. So
long may he wave. And the sing-along part of it is great because that just it builds a community atmosphere, a community spirit, and like it or not, we're all in this together.
I think so.
Way to go, Peter Yarrow.
There you go.
And I have some on Comrade Joe CDs that I'm featuring music from.
Okay.
We got a couple of Peter, Paul, and Mary songs in there that I'll play during my show. Okay. Let me get out of your way, let you wrap it up, and well done, Dominic.
All right, sounds good. All right, Paul Healy coming your way in just a couple of moments. And yes, we only have about 2 minutes left to the top of the show. So we're going to end you with the song that he actually had mentioned just a few moments ago. We're going to see if we can get just a little bit of the Blown in the Wind song out here. Enjoy the weekend, folks. We'll be back Tuesday morning right here on AM 1320 starting at 6 a.m.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? Answer.
You're listening to WARA.